Hi everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And we're starting our literature article for this month. It's a story called The Glass Castle. The full title would be The Glass Castle, A Memoir.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to make it a true story rather than a made-up piece of fiction.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, we say memoir with that ugly R that you don't get with British English. Say it again for
memoir.
Me. Memoir. Memoir. It's more like the French pronunciation, actually, except the French will put the memoir. Memoir is actually French. That's where we get this word from. We drop off the E, but it means memory.
Mm.
That's all it means. And so it's somebody who takes, the author is writing the book, herself or himself, and they use the I, but they take series of memories that usually have a theme, and they connect them and... You know, they publish it that way.
They're not writing like a diary of everything that's happened. They're turning the memories into a cohesive narrative story.
It's not an autobiography,
which
is a factual account of someone's life written by that person.
Achievements and so on.
Yes. But I like memoirs a lot. I think they're very interesting.
Yeah, I've certainly read quite a few.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about one for the next 3 days. The Glass Castle, a memoir, which is... also been turned into a movie for those of you who haven't seen it. You might want to look around online for that. It's very interesting. I was watching some clips. But before we continue, guys, we're going to listen to day one being read out loud.
Jeanette Walls, a successful journalist living in New York City with her husband, is on her way to a social event one evening when she spots her mother searching through garbage on the street. She hastily returns to her luxury apartment, feeling guilty about how comfortable her life is compared to that of her homeless parents. This incident thrusts Jeanette into a reflective journey back to her disorderly, yet love-filled childhood. Jeanette's early life was anything but conventional. Her parents, opposing capitalist ideals and traditional education, embraced a free-spirited lifestyle. Her father, Rex Walls, a dreamer, often spoke of building a grand glass castle with solar panels and a water purifier. However, he struggled with alcoholism and was unable to maintain steady employment. Rosemary, her mother, although a qualified teacher, chose to focus on creating art at home, adding to the family's instability. Financial hardships forced the Walls family to move frequently and live in run-down homes, and even in the desert. Despite their poverty, Rex fostered wonder and potential in his children, teaching them to value life's simplicity. One Christmas, jobless and without money, Rex took each child to choose a star from the sky as their gift. He assured them that while other kids' gifts might break or be forgotten, their chosen stars would always shine for them. Jeanette believed in her father's stories and promises more than her three siblings did. She was convinced they would one day prosper from the gold-digging device her father intended to invent. She saw this future prosperity as the key to building their glass castle, a place where they would achieve enduring happiness. So we've described The Glass Castle in our title as a tale of resilience and triumph. Now, triumph, of course, is just winning something, being victorious. This could be winning a race or a sports match or a game, or it could just be overcoming some kind of problem. But resilience is a slightly more interesting word. If you are resilient, that's the adjective form with the T, you're tough. You can kind of take some knocks, take some hard times, and come out of it the other side without being fully broken down and destroyed by what's happened to you. If you're resilient, you are good at kind of overcoming adversity and problems and difficulties. Materials can be resilient if they're not easily damaged, so we apply that same word to humans.
Mm-hmm. It's a great compliment if someone says you're resilient, which is the adjective form, or you have a lot of resilience. And maybe that comes from your parents, the way you grew up. Maybe it comes just from who you are as a person and what you've been through. Some people can take a lot of hard knocks, as you said, and bounce right back. And others, it kind of destroys them, or they let themselves be destroyed or become a victim. So this is somebody who had a really tough childhood, and she didn't let it determine her future.
Mm-hmm.
She went ahead and became quite successful. So we're going to be talking about Jeanette Walls. She's the author. She started out life in a pretty hard childhood, I must say, but she left home at 17 and moved to New York City with her siblings. We're going to talk about that. And started out, first she went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she got into a very, very elite school, Barnard College, which is part of Columbia University.
Mm-hmm.
But Barnard College is only for women. Who knows what we're doing nowadays with that. But she studied writing and just was a really good writer. Her dad was very creative. We're going to talk about that. But she became a successful journalist living in New York City. It's not easy to be successful in New York. We have that famous phrase, if you can make it here in New York City, you can make it anywhere, because we've got a really big pond with a lot of fish. I used to have people who would say, why do you want to go live in New York? And I said, I know I'm a big fish in a small pond. I'm good in a small area. I want to see how good I am of competing against even better people in New York. So you've got a lot of people who are really ambitious, wanting to be successful, and she became successful. I was telling Pat before we started, I had seen Jeanette Walls on TV before. So when I looked her up, I recognized her face. She looked familiar. So what does a journalist do? Well, usually they go and explore stories and look into things that they're hearing about in life, and they write about it. They tell us the news. Although nowadays, it seems like they just sit at their desks and surf for other news bits and then publish that. We don't have a lot of good investigative journalists anymore. She actually became a journalist, but went into the gossip column category. So she was a gossip column journalist for some very major publications, one of them being The New Yorker magazine, which is quite
pretty famous.
Pretty famous, yeah. And she also then got some gigs on TV, you know, giving the latest gossip on some of the famous morning shows in particular.
So she, at the start of this story, which is starting as she's a successful adult, she's on her way to a social event with her husband when she spots her mother searching through garbage on the street, which, of course, would be a huge shock, you know, to anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe less so for her this is something they've experienced before, but it kind of really threw her. We see she hastily returns to her luxury apartment, so she lives in a really nice, fancy place, feeling guilty about how comfortable her life is compared to that of her homeless parents. So maybe this is something she doesn't think about or she doesn't like to think about, and then suddenly seeing it all comes rushing back.
Yeah, it really confronts her head on. When I first saw this and I didn't know about the book at all, and I was reading this, I thought, wow, how could you just run away from your mother who's, you know, searching through a trash can for something to eat? And then I realized, oh, there's a reason why this is the way it is. We're going to talk about this. Don't look down on Jeanette Walls yet. You'll find out her mother actually prefers her living arrangements than to live in a nice place. So we're moving on here. She does feel guilty. She goes back to a really fancy, expensive apartment. She feels guilty about how comfortable her life is compared to that of her homeless parents. But again, I discovered later on that that's exactly what her mother wanted.
Mm-hmm.
This incident that we're just describing here thrust Jeanette into a reflective journey back to her disorderly yet love-filled childhood. If you're thrust somewhere, it just means someone's pushing someone or something into a certain direction with a lot of force. So it kind of pushes her into going back and thinking, oh, my childhood. So she goes back in time in her memories. If you're reflective, you're just thinking deeply about something in your life, especially in the past. And so she's thinking about her disorderly yet love-filled childhood. What does disorderly mean there, Pat?
Well, dis, as you guys know, is a negative prefix. It puts a negative or opposite meaning. So if something's orderly, it's very neat, tidy, everything's in its place. Disorderly would be like my children's room with nothing, with things everywhere and toys on the floor and a great big mess and no kind of system to it at all.
It sounds like a kid's toy room, yeah.
I'm also going to highlight, she does say it was a love-filled childhood. Her parents were never mean or cruel or abusive or anything. There was
love. No,
they
really did love her, yeah.
But it was just very, very disorganized. So let's learn about this.Jeanette's early life was anything but conventional.
Mm-hmm.
Something's conventional, it's another way of saying normal, kind of fairly standard, doing the same things that everybody else normally does or is expected to do. Something is unconventional would be really different, not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So if we use this construction, anything but conventional, it just means it was not conventional in any way. That's where the anything but followed by an adjective pattern comes in.
Anything but is a great little pattern, so you should probably write that down. Anything but. So anything but, whatever follows that, it's the opposite. So, yeah, it was very unconventional, disorderly, chaotic, I would say, unstable for children in many ways. So her parents, opposing capitalist ideals, we're going to talk about that, and traditional education. Instead, what did they do? They embraced a free-spirited lifestyle. But if you're really free-spirited, you're not always going to have stability or a place to call home. So there are negative points to that. Capitalists, of course, are people who believe in freedom to invest and make money. So they want to make a lot of profit. Our country was based on capitalist ideals. And I think they're great, but I also think we also have a responsibility morally to take care of people who can't take care of themselves. Sometimes we overdo it and we hurt people by giving them money from the government, and then they don't feel like they have to take care of themselves, which actually hurts people in the long run. But her parents, that's not who they were. They just didn't want to be in the system.
Yeah.
They would call it, you know, bucking the system, going against the system. They didn't feel like they had to hold down a regular job like other people because they were smarter. They were actually quite bright, very intelligent people who just didn't want to live in a conventional way.
So we'll find out what kind of life they lived in just a moment. Right now, though, we're going to take a short break and hand over to our Chinese teacher.
Hello everyone, 我是派老师。今天要讲解的是五月份5月6号 Unit 3 The Glass Castle, A Tale of Resilience and Triumph. 这是第一天的课程。这个单元是文学单元，介绍的是2005年出版的玻璃城堡回忆录。这是美国记者珍奈特·沃尔斯所著作的。前两天的课文主要是略述回忆录的内容。第一天交代主人翁的出身、家庭背景，父母都是非常另类的家长，也因此让孩子过着有点辛苦、艰困的生活。好，我们一起来看学习重点吧。请看第一段第一个句子，请同学特别注意到的是在 When she spots her mother searching through garbage on the street， 也就是第一个句子后半段的部分。请同学特别注意的是 spot 这个动词呢，就如同其他的感官动词 see， 它后面再接上一个动词的时候，请记得加上 ing， 也就是我们的主人翁亲眼看到自己的母亲在街上的垃圾堆里面翻找。好，再来请看到第二个句子， She hastily returns to her luxury apartment，他很快地回到自己的豪宅里头。请同学把 hastily 画起来，这是一个副词，用来形容修饰 returns。好，再来请同学看到的是第二个句子后半段的部分。好，请特别注意到 that of her homeless parents， 这个 that 其实是代名词，那就是呢在比较什么，比较生活。同类的名词我们用 that 来代替。再来请同学看到第三个句子，第三个句子的部分要特别注意的是 disorderly 这一个形容词，这边是混乱的意思。 那也请同学注意到后面的这个复合形容词 love filled, childhood 的 love filled。这里用 ed, 也就是过去分词，因为是要修饰童年。那童年呢充满了爱 ,her childhood was filled with love。为了要表示被动，所以我们这里用过去分词。好，再来请同学看到第二段第一个句子。这个句子是主题句，段落的主题句。那我们知道说主人翁他其实人生在前面这个阶段一点都不传统，有别于其他的小孩子。所以我们说 her early life was anything but conventional, anything but, 那我们就知道那等于是排除了后面这个 conventional。 再来请同学呢看到第二个句子，第二个句子要请同学特别注意的是两个动点之间所夹着的，这个叫做分词构句。那他的父母亲呢其实是反对资本主义的想法，也不喜欢传统的教育，他们崇尚的，这边的 embrace 就是崇尚的意思，是自由奔放的生活方式。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone. So we've heard that Jeanette Walls lived an unconventional childhood with her parents going off on their own path and embracing free-spirited ideas.And we see now her father, Rex Walls, a dreamer, often spoke of building a grand glass castle with solar panels and a water purifier. Solar panels, of course, turn sunlight into energy. A water purifier would purify rainwater or groundwater so that you can drink it and wash with it. So he's got all these great plans. Unfortunately, it's going to be a bit difficult to work out. And there's one big reason for that, which we get into here.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to hear that somebody who was so bright struggled with an addiction that really brings a lot of people down and ruins a lot of lives and families together. But he struggled with alcoholism, which we would then say he's an alcoholic. That's what the person would be called. But alcoholism is when somebody is struggling with an addiction to any sort of alcohol, liquor, especially hard liquor. We're not talking aboutyou know, just a little bit,
a glass of wine a day
or
no, or
a can of beer a night. No, this is a lot of alcohol to where you can no longer function.
And then you can no longer function without it.
Right. It's just a mess. And it's not easy to get out of it and to rid yourself of that addiction, but it can be done. So he struggled with it and was unable to maintain steady employment.It's not like he didn't ever have any jobs. He would get some work, but then, you know, he would just feel like it was cramping his style, which means it was hindering his ability or stopping his ability to be that free spirit. If you're a free spirit, you do what you want, when you want. That's fine if you're single. This guy is not only not single, he's married, but he has 4 children. And he's supposed to be taking care of them, making sure that... They have a place to live that will shelter them from the storm, you could say, and also feed them.
Yeah, and her mother also wasn't able to contribute as much as you might hope. Rosemary, her mother, I don't know if it said Rosemary, I don't know if she'd kind
Rosemary,
of push them together.
It's just Rosemary, yeah. Adding
to the, although a qualified teacher, chose to focus on creating art at home, adding to the family's instability.So she was a qualified teacher. She'd been to college. She'd got the teaching qualification. She'd probably had jobs working and teaching in schools with that qualification. She passed the exams that said, you are a good enough teacher. We give you a certification would be another word.
She would have to have graduated from college, at least in America, to be a
teacher. Same in the UK, yeah. But instead of teaching, she created art at home, and this added to the family's instability. Here's another negative prefix. We've had dis, and now we've got in. Stability means things are stable, things are organized, fairly predictable. You kind of know what's going to happen. You're ready in case there's a problem. But if you're unstable, or unstable is the adjective, instability is the noun, is a state where things are not stable. You don't know where the next meal or money is coming from. You never know where you're going to be living next week or what's going to be happening. Things are just keep changing and nothing is constant or permanent or reliable.
Now, here's something that's kind of weird with our language. The noun is instability, but if you use the adjective, it's unstable with a U-N. And if someone is described as being unstable, typically, at least for us in the U.S., it kind of gives you that idea that you're a little bit, you have mental problems.
Maybe, yes.
So they have that instability. They have financial hardships and it forced the family to move frequently. So they were going from one place to another, especially when they had bills to pay. Anytime they would come to collect the money, they would run. So they would also be forced to live in rundown homes, old homes that are kind of falling apart. Mm-hmm. They're not in good shape. They even had to live in the desert. She was born in Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you, I grew up in that area. If you don't have air conditioning, it's hell on earth. It's horrible.
So despite their poverty, however, there is a good side to this upbringing. Mm-hmm. We see Rex fostered wonder and potential in his children. To foster something means to create it and allow it to grow and take hold. So he's making his kids wonder. He's making them imagine and believe and create things. And he's fostering potential. So he's not neglecting them. He's not teaching them how to think or how to behave or how to take care of themselves. And we see here teaching them to value life simplicity. Simplicity is just the state of being simple. So he's teaching his kids, don't always go chasing after, you know, status symbols or money or a job. Just enjoy the simple things in life, which is a very important lesson.
I think it's really important, yeah.
Although not one that maybe should take over everything else.
It should be more important than providing a home and food for your kids, that's for sure.
Now, there's an example of one way he kind of uses this here. One Christmas, jobless and without money, Rex took each child to choose a star from the sky as their gift, which kind of sounds cool in
a
way.
It's magical.
As a young kid, it's very creative. It's a nice idea. And he assured them, so he told them with a lot of confidence and said, you can really believe this. This is true. While other kids' gifts might break or be forgotten, their chosen stars would always shine for them. So, yeah, if they can remember where it is in the sky and pick it out from all the other stars, then that's a gift that wherever they go, they'll be able to look up and see, that's my star. That's the star that my dad gave me. And it's more than just like a cheap gift. It's kind of a connection.
Yeah.
There are ways that you can actually go online and buy stars and name stars for your loved ones. And it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. It's fun. I love that he gave them that gift. I think sometimes we smash or diminish the creativity in kids too young. We get them too concerned about, you know, their tests the next day. But he gave them that ability to dream and think big, I think. So he did assure them, if you assure someone, you just let them know that something's true or definitely going to happen, kind of gives them some confidence in life, I think, if you can assure them. So he assured them that the other kids' gifts, hey, they're going to be broken before long, but yours will always be here and it will always shine for you. Now, Jeanette, the author, believed in her father's stories and promises more than her three siblings did. So she kind of, you know, she would still believe in her dad no matter what was going on around her. Your siblings, of course, are your brothers and sisters. I come from a huge family. I have seven siblings.
Wow.
Sibling doesn't mean girl or boy either. It can be both. So, yeah, I'm from a very big family. You have
two brothers.
Just boys in your family. That's fun. So, yeah, I think that in some ways was really helpful for her. And when you read the book, she never writes about her troubled childhood with anger or bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very matter of fact. And this is what happened. So, I think they really truly did love their parents and the parents loved them, although it's hard to tell sometimes. She was convinced that they would one day prosper because her father kept telling them they would have this gold digging device that they would use once he invented it. He hadn't invented it yet, and that would make them rich. If you prosper, chiefly it means you're going to be financially successful, but not always. You can just be successful in life. It doesn't have to just relate to money.
Mm-hmm. So she, Jeanette, saw this future when they've got the gold digging device and it's making money, this future prosperity is the key to building their glass castle. So the glass castle isn't now, it's not now just their future home. It's more of a dream. It's this place which, if they can reach it, it's going to let them achieve enduring happiness. Once they make it there, everything will be fine. They've got their money, they've got their house, this beautiful glass castle of solar panels, and they're going to be happy there. That's what they've got to achieve. That's the glass castle, or you might say the castle in the sky,
yeah,
in the clouds, that they're trying to reach for. So things don't quite work out that way, as we'll see in tomorrow with the second part of this story. But right now, we're going to hand over to our Chinese teacher one more time before we come back to wrap things up for today.
再来，请同学看到第三个句子。抱歉，请看到第四个句子。However, he struggled with alcoholism. 这边呢，我们说过，第二段的第一句是主题句。作者要让我们了解到，我们回忆录里面的主人翁，他人生在早期阶段有多么的不一样，有多么的与众不同。所以在这个段落交代他的家庭背景，首先提到的是他的爸爸。爸爸怎么样呢？ He struggled with alcoholism, 所以有酗酒的问题。再加上 He was unable to maintain steady employment, 意思就是工作都做不久。那至于妈妈呢，就请看到第五个句子。第五个句子请看到有两个逗点，中间所囊括起来的 although a qualified teacher。 那我们知道这个其实是副词子句的省略，因为呢，副词子句这边所指的 Rosemary 她其实是一个合格的老师。那我们省略了 She was 这里呢，因为主词相同，所以做了省略。再来，请同学看到第六个句子。第六个句子这边讲到的是我们的主人翁他小时候家境非常的艰困，所以 Financial hardships 指的就是经济困顿。经济困顿让整个家庭必须要常常的搬迁，让孩子呢住在 run down homes, 所以整个房子其实是相当破旧的。好，再来我们看到第三段的第一个句子。Despite their poverty, Rex fostered wonder and potential in his children. 这边的 foster 意思其实就是培养，所以家里穷归穷啊， Rex 还是培养了孩子的好奇心还有潜力。再来，请同学看到第三个句子。He assured them that while other kids' gifts might break or be forgotten, the chosen stars would always shine for them. 好，所以爸爸给孩子的礼物是什么呢？是天上的星星。所以这里的 while 其实是副词连接词，做一个对比。其他孩子的礼物可能会坏掉，或者会遗忘，遭到遗忘。但是现在这些孩子自己的孩子所选择的这些星星当礼物，这些星星会恒常的照耀的。好，最后我们看到第四个段落。第四个段落的第二个句子 She was convinced they would one day prosper from the gold digging device her father intended to invent. 这个 prosper from 就是因什么而致富。所以原来啊，爸爸呢是试着要发明一个所谓的挖金子的设备。那他相信爸爸如果成功发明了之后呢，是可以因此致富的。好，以上就是我们对于这个单元第一天课程内容所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
That's all the time we have for today, guys. But as you know, in our literature unit, we have two more days to talk about this particular novel, which is a memoir or someone's memories of things they experienced in their life. So we hope you'll join us for our next program. We're going to talk more about that glass castle, and what it meant to her. But we're also going to talk about more about what happened, in parts of her childhood. You're going to want to stay tuned. Thanks for joining us for English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Pat. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.